I don't know about you, but I find that God is constantly surprising me with the things that he says and the things that he does. And it happened to me when I was on my retreat, my 6 days of silence last week, that I was waiting for God to speak to me. And for 3 days I waited for that still small voice that I know, I recognize him in my heart, in my mind. And he didn't speak for so long. I was wondering what I was doing wrong. And then on the 3rd day, he spoke to me. And you know what he said? He said, "Talk to me, Louise. You talk to me. You think you're waiting for me to speak to you. I'm waiting for you to say what's on your heart, to talk to me." It was amazing. Because then we began a conversation and we spoke to each other. By the time I came back from that retreat, I was so loved up by Jesus that I can still feel that love right now in my heart and around me. And I don't want to lose it. I want to hang on to that love. So that was surprising, and you may be aware of surprises in your life because of God and what he does. And Zacchaeus, he had a very big surprise on that day when he was up in the tree, thinking no one knew he was there, and he'd get a good view of the Saviour, but from a distance and without being noticed. Because when Jesus got to the tree, he looked up into the branches and he said, "Zacchaeus, I'm coming to yours today for tea. I'm coming to yours. Come down. Hurry up." That would have been so surprising that I think Zacchaeus might have almost fallen out of the tree because of it. And I'm just wondering if you can put yourself there with him and imagine what that felt like. It may be a long time since you climbed a tree last. I was trying to remember the last time I did, and I couldn't remember. However, there he was, because he was too short. And you climbed on a chair today, didn't you? That was a bad idea. And you I'm remembering. Sometimes when some of us climb, we really shouldn't. We do better to stay on the floor. But anyway, he was too short to see, and he wanted to see Jesus. So what could he do? A tree was the obvious thing. And when Jesus looks up at you, or across at you, or down at you, and he meets your eyes, and he says your name, and he says, "I'm coming to yours today," with such urgency as he did to Zacchaeus, the language that he uses is not, "Can I come? Shall I come? Would you like me to come?" It's, "I must come to your house today. I'm coming." And that was surprising to Zacchaeus, but he immediately responded, yes. He came down and he went with Jesus to his house. For the people, it wasn't just surprising, it was utterly shocking what happened. Why? Because tax collectors were absolutely hated with a vengeance. They worked for the Romans, the occupying force that oppressed the people. And so they were hated. So listen to this that I found written about tax collectors. The methods used by tax collectors were unethical, to say the least. For one, these tax collectors would harass people wherever they could, and they would tax them on the spot. So even if a different tax collector shook you down for your money up the road, you could be taxed again by another tax collector just hours or minutes later down the road. Second, They would also place an inflated and fictitious value on property or income in order to get a higher percentage of tax. And third, they would give loans to people who couldn't pay them back and then charge high interest on this private debt. They were the loan sharks of their day. And so people hated them. And even the rabbis, the religious teachers, taught these things. They said, tax collectors are disqualified from witnessing in court. They're societal outcasts, and they are an utter disgrace to their own family. Basically, because they're Jewish, but they're working for the Romans, they're traitors. They're actually traitors to their own people. Excommunicated from the synagogue, and the rabbis even taught to people to lie to them to avoid paying tax. They were so low that no one would take that job unless they were already a criminal or a loser, or so greedy that they would just bypass all ethics, betray their own people, and become a tax collector. So that's how hated they were. That's how shocking it was for the people to see Zacchaeus being invited to have tea with Jesus in his own house. When Jesus came for tea and spent time with Zacchaeus, something changed in Zacchaeus so profoundly, so deeply, so much affecting the whole of his life, that he was utterly turned around, bowled over, head over heels in love with Jesus. I feel like Zacchaeus probably felt the very same love I came away from my retreat feeling. That love that is so all-enfolding, deeply reaching the far corners of the darkest places in our hearts, that there's nothing left but light. He was changed from the inside out. And this is what happened. He stood up after that encounter and he said, I will give away half my possessions to the poor. And he was a rich man, because of his earlier greed and unethical behavior. He was really rich off the backs of other people. But he said, I'm going to give away half what I have. Not only that, if I've cheated anyone, which he most certainly had, I will give them back four times as much. Four times as much. And I'm thinking, so he's got half his possessions and his wealth left, but out of that half, he's going to give away four times as much back to everyone that he's taken from. I wonder if he's leaving himself destitute, or at least very dependent, in a way he's never been before, on the generosity of others and the goodwill and care of God. I don't know that, but it's what I'm wondering. So I'm thinking about this guy, a small man with a very small heart initially, like the Grinch. If you know the story of the Grinch had a heart that was two sizes too small. But by the time that Jesus had spent time doing open heart surgery with Zacchaeus, his heart was massive. So full of love and generosity that it was several sizes bigger than before. So an invitation then in this series on generosity to encounter the Holy One and his love for you, and to say, yes, Jesus, come into my heart, my life, my house. Have tea with me today and stay with me, because that's the offer. And when you do, if you do say that, allow him to get the delicate scalpel that he has, that he does heart surgery with, in a spiritual sense, I mean, and allow him to operate on you, wherever the operation is needed, in terms of what part of your life would do well to be more open to him and let him more deeply in. This will affect your capacity for generosity, I am sure it will. And so we're all going to be thoughtful about this ongoing, and we are already. But here's a thought. So there's something practical we can do. And maybe in Lent, which is just approaching, this could be a thing to put into some practice, a spring clean of our lives, also our homes. And here's a prayer from St. Basil the Great. He wrote this in the 4th century. It's more like a poem than a prayer, but it's profound. He says, "The bread which you do not use is the bread of the hungry. The garment hanging in your wardrobe is the garment of one who is naked. The shoes which you do not wear are the shoes of one who is barefoot. The money which you keep locked away is the money of the poor. The acts of charity you do not perform are so many injustices you commit." So can we maybe be thoughtful about what we have and giving some of it away? That's possessions. It may also be what we have in our wallets. A spring clean of our bank accounts might be a good thing as well. I wonder what it will be for each of us. But I know that what Jesus wants more than anything we have, anything we can give materially, what he really wants is our hearts open to him, saying, "Speak to me, God," and hearing him say, "Speak to me, you, beloved one." Let's be in that kind of relationship. It would be so good. Let's pray. Father, we want to be open people, but heart surgery is actually a scary thing and feels life-threatening. And some of us know what that's actually like. So it's not a small thing to be offering to you today, our openness to you. But please take us with your mercy and your love and inhabit the places in our hearts where you would do well to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.